in the doghouse.
Whatever's happening here, just knock it off.
Call the big dog now at 866-485-9867.
These kids are weird, man. They're weird.
Live from the Big Dog Production Studios.
How you doing?
It's the Tom Abraham Show.
That might be listed in Revelations as the cause for the apocalypse.
Here he is, the head of the household, the Big Dog.
You're the smartest guy I've ever met.
Tom Abraham.
You want me to do this crap?
I guess I'm on here. Am I on? Can somebody respond?
Welcome back, hour number two of the Tom Abraham Show. Don't forget, now is the time to get into the TOC Sports Huntsville Hospital Doghouse Bowl Challenge. All you got to do is go to the Facebook fan page, Facebook.com/Tom Abraham Show, or the Twitter feed at Tom Abraham Show. I'll post them again, but they're there. And go ahead and get into our group. We're using the platform from ESPN, the Bowlmania platform, and you can get in and you can win an ice suite at an upcoming Huntsville Havoc hockey game. And that's a $300 value, an ice suite for six folks right on the ice. Not on the ice. I mean, that would be – you'd be in a way, okay? If you were on the ice, you'd be in a way. But it's you know what I'm talking about. The ice suite at the Havoc game if you win that thing. So check that out. Get in it. And then we can all show off our big brains and how many games that we can pick. Roland Lazenby, first he did the book on Jerry West. Then he did the Michael Jordan. And now he's done Kobe Bryant. You can only figure that, you know, he's waiting on LeBron to retire and do that one, and then he'll have to do, like, the Lonzo Ball book maybe. I don't know. But he has got a new one out on Kobe Bryant. Showboat, The Life of Kobe Bryant, and Roland joins us now. Roland, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Roland, you doing well?
Yep, there you go. Okay. I'm doing fantastic, Roland. And by the way, I haven't spoken to you since I read the Michael Jordan book, The Life. What a fantastic book that was, as long as it is. And, you know, it's a little bit long, but it was a fast read because of the way you put the whole story together. And there was so much more in there. And I thought I knew a lot about Michael Jordan because I'm kind of a professional at this, you know. And I learned so much more. Fantastic job on the Jordan book.
Thank you so much, Tom. That's special.
Yeah, it was the book was special, and now I'm waiting to read the one on Kobe Bryant. And, you know, the interesting thing here is, you know, Kobe, we always talked about his mannerisms and everything when he first came in and how, I mean, he stood at the free throw line like Michael Jordan, and he sounded like Michael Jordan. And as you were doing this book, were you able to really kind of uncover just how much of an influence Michael Jordan was on Kobe Bryant?
I did, and I'll tell you that I went in search of the organic Kobe. I wanted to find Kobe before the Jordan influence, but it really had a different genesis than we realized at the time. And that involved the fact that Sonny Vaccaro, the former Nike shoe guy who was with Adidas, went out in search of the next Jordan and paid millions to have Kobe turn pro out of high school. And so when Vaccaro and Adidas made it known that Kobe was targeted as the next Jordan, well, he was a teenage kid. He shaved his head and started. Vaccaro was stunned at how he started adding all the Jordan mannerisms. But you tell a teenager something like that, that's going to happen.
Yeah, there's no question about it. And I think there's a lot of things that we don't understand about Kobe, or maybe didn't, that people understood as time went on. I mean, this is a guy that was a very, very bright guy. I mean, he, you know, of course, now we've got the one-and-done rules. He would have had to go and play, you know, college basketball for a year. And you know, he's one of the rare guys that was able to make that jump immediately. But, you know, I always thought it was fascinating that the best player at UCLA was when he was walking the halls playing for the Lakers and going to school at UCLA. You know, but I don't think people really realize just how brilliant this guy is with the multiple languages he speaks and so on.
He was a brilliant kid. He wanted to go to college. His parents were out of money. His father had played pro basketball in the NBA for 8 years and then 8 years in Italy. And we didn't realize their financial issues. But as Sonny Vaccaro explained to me, You know, they paid Kobe millions. They kicked his parents hundreds of thousands of dollars. Adidas hadn't been able to find somebody who wanted to go from high school to the pros, and Kobe really didn't want to do that. Before he signed the deal in the spring of his senior year in high school with Adidas, he looked at Sonny Vaccaro and said, "Mr. Vaccaro, is there any way that I could still go to college and my parents could have this money?"
Now, he did go to – I mean, did he end up graduating? I mean, I know he went to UCLA. He took classes at UCLA early on in his Laker career. Does he end up actually getting a college degree or no?
He hasn't gotten a degree yet. He has done plenty of coursework. And, you know, he's a guy with all kinds of different media companies, and he's into film, and he's into all kinds of writing. But he was doing a lot of that when he was a kid, too. This was a guy with an active mind at a young age.
And he was a guy that was not received real well early on, right? I mean, he was a guy that, you know, wasn't treated real well by the other guys. And I think he had a little bit of that, you know, what Charles Barkley talks about sometimes when he was talking about Russell Wilson and how he would be criticized of not being, quote, black enough and that kind of stuff. But Kobe was kind of isolated early on in his career, wasn't he?
He was very isolated. When I first got to know him as a teenager on the Lakers, today the NBA is a very young league. It's filled with young one-and-done guys. But Kobe was the first guy paid lots of money to turn pro. As Rick Fox told me years ago, when he got to that veteran Lakers team and he was making all this money from Adidas, they all looked at him like somebody who was cutting in line at the cafeteria.
Yeah. Roland Lazenby with us. The book is called Showboat, The Life of Kobe Bryant. It's available everywhere coming up in 2 days ago. And so this would be a great thing to get for a Christmas gift for the NBA fan or sports fan on your list. That's for sure. I love I'm not a Lakers fan. I'm a Knicks guy. But I love the whole Kobe and Shaq deal together. But man, Shaq really played up that Kobe's, you know, is my little brother type of thing. It seemed like it was inevitable that it would end. How great could it have been though? Could they have gotten six like Jordan did? I mean, if they had stayed together, just how good could that have been?
Well, you know, they probably left several on the table, but their conflict really wasn't different. I remember interviewing George Mikan and Jim Pollard from the 1940s and 50s Lakers. And, you know, basketball, those big centers have always set up on the block, and those slashers want to get to the basket, and those guys are parked in their way. That was the same deal with the great Elgin Baylor and Wilt Chamberlain. And it was certainly the same deal with Shaq and Kobe. It was just a traffic jam. The game isn't like that today. You know, the bigs are now out on the perimeter setting screens and maybe rolling to the basket, but just as often popping to the perimeter to shoot a jumper.
Yeah, well, especially if they're a Euro big, right? Like my boy Porzingis.
Right. The game has changed dramatically. But Tex Winter, my great friend who coached both Michael and Kobe, often wondered what would have happened if Michael Jordan had had to play with Shaq as a young player. What a battle that would have been.
Yeah, he'd have just killed him. I mean, that would have been, again, that is an interesting thing. But see, I always thought of Michael more like Shaq, even though, you know, from a playing standpoint, they're obviously different guys. But I always thought that Michael was more like everything revolved around him. And I kind of felt that way with Shaq, too. I mean, it was like Shaq was the thing, you know, he became kind of the punchline of a joke when he was playing for every single team in the NBA at the end of his career, and some people just remember that. But he was the earth that the moon went around, and that's how it was with Michael, obviously. Everything went around Michael. Don't you think that Kobe, for a long time, Kobe was he was the Scottie Pippen, if you will, to Shaq's Michael?
Right. Of course, Phil Jackson, and you're exactly right, Tom. Phil Jackson featured Michael. He featured Kobe, obviously. Michael was a great post player and a post weapon, much like Shaq. And Kobe came into the league as a teenager with all of those post skills. But there was no way to play both of them down on the box like Michael had been able to play in Chicago. And Phil Jackson was so determined to focus on Shaq, as any coach would, but he refused to even hold meetings with Kobe to discuss it. It was just the way it had to be. Phil was a very strict guy about the hierarchy of his teams.
Right, right. Roland Lazenby with us. When I'm looking at players' all-time greats, I always have to separate the bigs. I always got to take and put, you know, Wilt Chamberlain and Kareem and, you know, those guys, Shaq, you know, they're all different guys because it's a totally different game than the game that Magic played or the game that, MJ played, Kobe, and even now LeBron. Is there a ceiling, though, for Kobe, or does Kobe become greater in his retirement years now? Because I feel like, obviously, there's Michael, and he's the gold standard. But I also feel like Magic is still up there. You know what I mean? I feel like Magic is still in front of Kobe. I feel like Kobe is kind of in this battle emotionally where LeBron is as to, you know, who's going to be the third greatest player of all time. Is that fair, or do you think Kobe is right there under Michael?
Well, I'll tell you, there are a number of people who suggest that maybe even Magic was better than Michael. I'm not sure. Kobe's take on it is that with his career and all that he did, he's at least earned a seat at the table when you're talking about those all-time greats. I don't think Kobe would back down if given the chance to play any of those guys in their prime, and one-on-one, of course. But, you know, it's really so hard to determine that. The way I look at it, Michael played in Chicago when he came along, he elevated the game to a global level with the way he played. Now, Magic set the table for that. And Magic was out in L.A., so he really was in a time zone that the rest of the country didn't see him regularly. But right. What a great, great player both of those guys were. They really revolutionized basketball in very different ways.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I'm a uniform geek. I get into numerology and all that kind of stuff with uniforms and so on. And I always wondered if there's some sort of a backstory to this whole, you know, switch from number 8 to number 24. And I'm old enough to remember, you know, they really discouraged players from having any numbers over 5 because it made it very difficult for, you know, the referees to call a foul. You know, the combination of numbers would always be under 5 or less. But is there anything that you find out or that you learned or that we learned in the book as to why Kobe makes this change mid-career from number 8 to number 24?
Yes, for all his talent and hard work, Kobe about destroyed his career and his life. He threw everybody out of his life, his family, his agent, his shoe company, Phil Jackson, his coach, Shaquille O'Neal, his teammate. It's like Sonny Vaccaro said, he was like the Russians with the Romanovs. He got rid of everybody. Then he was charged with sexual assault.
Right.
And, you know, Tiger made mistakes like that he never, ever really came back from. Kobe had that iron will to come back, but he also got lucky. The uniform change was part of his identity change in the wake of the sexual assault allegations and that whole incident in Colorado. So it was part of sort of a rebirth for him, along with the nickname he gave himself, Black Mamba.
Yeah. Now, I thought that was after the movie. So was the Black Mamba before the movie or after the movie? Was it the Black Mamba
in
the movie?
No, it was after the movie. It was taken from the Quentin Tarantino movie.
Oh, okay. Why 24? Does he ever say why 24? I mean, it's one more than 23, of course, which is the iconic Jordan number. It could be a 24-carat diamond that he got for his wife after that, after the other deal. But is there any reason why it was 24?
You know, there is. 24 was a combination of numbers for him. I wish I could tell you. I think 24 is 2 times 4 is 8.
Okay.
There are a couple of explanations for that. But it also was one next from 23.
Yeah.
And so things like that. You know, Kobe was – was in the process of rebuilding his life. And so a number, and of course, both numbers are being retired by the Lakers here in a few days.
It's crazy.
And both numbers, the whole new nickname he gave himself, those kinds of things.
Yeah. Roland Lazenby, the book is called Showboat, The Life of Kobe Bryant. It just came out in the last couple of days. It would make a great, great gift to put under the tree or in the stocking, that's for sure, for any sports fan in your family. All right, finally, did he get everything out of it? I mean, five championships is a lot. His greatness, his scoring numbers, 18 years, something like that in the league. You know, he played a long time. Did he leave anything out there?
Yeah. He says, looking back, he was an idiot as a young guy. And all of those guys, Shaq too, they know they left championships on the table because they were in conflict and it led to things. But they were young men making young men's mistakes, and they know that, and they've owned it. They've owned up to it. Kobe passed Jordan on the all-time scoring list, and he was a great volume scorer. He had his 81-point game, but I think if he had his choice, he would have had more championships and given up the rest of it.
I remember when he did that, when he passed Jordan, but we went back through and we looked at, like, number of games and everything. I mean, it's just Jordan is just something that we're just not going to see anytime soon, I don't think. All right,
Jordan had that charisma that was unbelievable.
Right. All right, have you started making your notes yet for the Lonzo Ball book? I mean, you know, Daddy says he's going to be the best point guard in the history of point guards, so I figured that's next.
That's,
jump
so
right
hard
to,
that. To look at. I'm pulling for that kid just to survive his old man. But, it is hard to look at. It's been going on in the league for years. If it's not a parent, it's an agent. We just know about this one. And, it's sports, a lot of money's involved. People, it's why Kobe Bryant ultimately threw his family out of his life. Yeah. Maybe Lonzo Ball will take a cue from that at some point. But Kobe just sold their cars, sold the house out from under them, canceled their credit cards, and said, see ya. And he did it right on the eve of the 2001 playoffs.
Is it
so
still
Lonzo might well end up pulling a move like that at some point.
Is it still like that? I mean, how is his relationship with his family now?
When you make that kind of move, that shatters things.
That's forever.
They have some talks and stuff, but, in 2011, they were getting ready to sue each other. In fact, they started the legal action over the selling of his memorabilia from his high school career.
Right. I remember that.
So it has been tense, and it's been that way for a while. Part of it came from Kobe's father wanting to buy Olympia Milano, the New York Yankees of the Italian league. And so Kobe laid out all this money as a young kid for his father and a partner to buy the team. And Joe was trying to pay NBA salaries. He bankrupted Olympia Milano in less than a year. And so they had to give it up and lose. And Kobe lost millions, and he lost a lot of faith in his father in the process. So, in fact, it's family things with high-paid athletes. They're all over the place. But Kobe's probably had to take the most severe measure to sort of establish things. He wasn't happy about it. It hurt him deeply.
Yeah. He's still married to Vanessa, though, right? I mean, he saved that.
They've been through their own legal actions. Yeah. But ultimately, I think when you look at a long-term marriage, sometimes people realize they'd rather be married than apart. And Kobe, they have they have all the daughters, and he seems to be a very happy, well-adjusted guy in retirement and working away on his new plans and ideas.
Will he, like Magic, be involved someday down the road? Can you see him being an owner in the NBA or like Michael or a GM or something like that? Do you think he'll ever be involved in a game at that level?
Well, right now he's teaching his daughter. He's coaching his daughter's 11-year-old team and getting them to run the triangle. I did that years ago with an 11-year-old AAU team, so I know what he's in for. But it's hard to say. I think he has goals outside of basketball. Jerry West was such an intense student of talent. He had been since he was a young guy. But I'm not sure Kobe. That's a singular talent, and I'm not sure that's Kobe's thing.
The book is called Showboat, The Life of Kobe Bryant. Roland, I appreciate you. Great work.
Mutual, buddy. Thank you.
Have a great holiday. Merry Christmas and happy holidays, and we'll talk again.
Thank you so much. You too.
Thank you. Roland Lazenby. You know, T-Mac, I'm really interested in reading this. You learn stuff. The Jordan book is. Did you read the Jordan book, The Life? I mean, it is really, it's really well written. It was a page turner.
No, I haven't. I would love to. Maybe you can slide it across the board here. You know,
yeah.
When you come back in tomorrow. You know what I mean?
I'll throw it. Maybe I could throw it over there to you at the library. And I was just thinking, too, here at the Doghouse Studios Library, I need another big bookshelf. Because I'm looking right now at the bookshelves, the three of them that are set up over there with books on them, and there are, every shelf is full, packed, and then there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. There are 9 books now that are sitting like on top of the books that are like laying. I mean, it looks cool. I mean, it looks, it's kind of like that, you know, that intellectual type of look, you know, which is what you think of when you think of me. Right. I mean, when you think of me, you think of a high intellect, a guy who's a big time, you know, reader type guy. I mean, I'm a guy, you know, I know what you think.
Hey, Joe Bulls, Merry Christmas.
I know what you think.
I'm an Ooch. I heard you saw Genoots.
Yeah, my paisan.
Yeah, I mean, you think I'm an Ooch. I mean, you think of a well-read kind of guy. But I'm constantly reading. I mean, I'm reading continually, but I need a new big bookshelf. I don't know where I'm going to put it. I need a bigger studio, I think, to put it, or I got to move the fish. And I want a bigger fish tank, too. Should I go for the bigger fish tank or the new, more bookshelves?
I would go with more bookshelves.
I can't throw a book out. What do you do with books after you read a book?
I keep them. I don't have a bookshelf, but I keep them put up in the same place.
I can't. I mean, you keep them. I mean, even after you're done totally coloring them?
Yeah.
All the pages are colored? You keep them?
Well, okay. The shell of the book, when I'm done coloring them, I throw the shell away. All the pictures stay on the fridge. Put them on the fridge. I sign them for my wife. It's really cute. It's adorable.
It's one of the greatest Spurrier lines ever. You remember that one, don't you?
I don't think so.
No? When the library burned down at Auburn? You remember that?
No.
When they had the fire at the library at Auburn, Steve Spurrier was the coach of Florida at the time, and he said it was a rotten shame because three of the books weren't colored yet. I mean, it's just terrible.
Wow.
Oh, that was just off. I mean, that was back. That was when he said you can't spell citrus without UT.
That's why
they went to the Citrus Bowl like 3 years in a row. Can't spell citrus without UT.
That's why he's the ball coach.
Oh, that's why he was the ball coach. Three of them weren't even colored in yet. Weren't even.
That's
colored.
Funny.
That's good. All right. Let's get a break. Man, it's a different show, man. It's just a different kind of show. All right, coming up next, Lee Sterling. That's not different. He's joining us from ParamountSports.com. He's on a hell of a run. We'll talk to him right after this on 730 1039. Yep.
Sports Radio 730 and 1039. The Ump. Here's what you'll hear tonight on The Ump.
It's Thursday Night Football, where the Broncos will meet the Colts at Lucas Oil Stadium. Coverage starts at 7 p.m., all right here on The Ump.
The holiday challenge is on at JCPenney. Shop now and find great gifts everyone will love for up to 50% off throughout the store. Like select women's and girls' boots for $24.99, kitchen electrics at $9.99 after $10 mail-in rebate, and great toys like Fashionista Barbie dolls just $9.99. Or stack on the savings. Get $10 off when you spend $25 or more with your coupon. Hurry in now. JCPenney.
Coupon valid 12/14 to 12/16. One rebate per item per address except in Rhode Island. Rebate given at the register in Connecticut, Rhode Island, and Miami-Dade County, Florida. Barbie dolls excluded from coupon. Other exclusions may apply. See store at jcp.com for details.
Your Tennessee Titans stay out west, this time to Levi's Stadium, home of the San Francisco 49ers. The award-winning Titans countdown is on the air at 2:30 Central. Then the voice of the Titans, Mike Keith, and Coach Dave McGinnis call the action of Titans and 49ers with a 3:25 Central kickoff. It's the Titans and the 49ers this Sunday on this Titans radio station.
On your new home for the Titans, Sports Radio 730 and 1039 The Ump.
What's one of your favorite memories?
That's a tough question. Well, there was this one time I went camping with my parents in a forest back when I was maybe like 8 or 9. And I can remember one night we were laying out in our hammocks and we were just, you know, watching the trees rustling in the wind above us, and we could hear the sounds of the forest all around us. Frogs singing and owls calling and the creek running nearby. It was amazing. It felt like we were a part of it all. I don't know if I do it justice trying to describe it, but I'll definitely never forget it.
Most of us have a memory of being in nature we'll never forget. Let's protect the world's natural places so more memories can be made for generations to come. Visit worldwildlife.org.
The Ump, where champions are crowned.
The 1-1. Chopper, back to the circle. Lowry's got it. Throws to first, and OU did it again. The Sooners defeat the Gators 5-4, and Oklahoma, just the ninth team in history to repeat as national champions. The Oklahoma Sooners, the champions of softball in 2017.
On Sports Radio 730 and 1039, The Ump.
Hello there, this is Nat King Cole, wishing you all a happy and a Merry Christmas.
The joy of living is in the giving. So let's give lots of toys for tots.
Since 1947, the United States Marine Corps has been helping Santa fill his sleigh, making happier holidays for deserving children right in your community. Go to toysfortots.org and learn how you can make a difference.
Wake up with Cole Kublik and Archie Shea weekdays 6 to 10.
It's like Judge Judy. I make my case, and then you get to do a secret ballot. And then Lane Kiffin bangs the gavel and other things.
On Sports Radio 730 at 103.9 The Ump.
Having a place to go after school will make you a better student. Having an outlet to express yourself will make you a better artist. Having something to do together will make you a better family. At The Y, we're helping build better friends, listeners, writers, swimmers, scientists, and musicians, one chance at a time. Get the gift of opportunity. Support The Y at ymca.net. The Y, for a better us.
Weather sponsored by Panera Bread. Get a Panera Bread gift card this holiday season. For every $50 in gift cards purchased, you'll get a $10 bonus card. For more details, visit your local bakery cafe.
Partly sunny and very cool today. The high in the upper 40s at 49. Mostly fair tonight, the low 27. Colder tomorrow, a mix of sun and clouds, the high 43. Then for Saturday, the sky sunny, the high 55. Sunday, cloudy with rain moving in. Sunday's high 52. I'm James Spann on Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Ump.
Now back to the big dog. Bark, bark.
Rolling, rolling, rolling.
We get to talk to Lee Sterling until the Super Bowl week. So let's take advantage of him. I'm sure he's got a great bowl deal coming up for us as well. And the dude's been hot, man. I mean, that's just a – but you got to understand, the guy's 10-1 on current NFL plays. He's 33-11 on his 40-50 unit plays. He's 35-13 on 30-35 unit plays. I mean, in other words, he's an ATM machine right now, okay? All right? So let's see what he's got in some of these games that are coming up during the bowl season. He joins us now on Woody Anderson Ford VIP Hotline. Lee, welcome in. How are you?
Doing okay. Yeah, it's fun to get some nice tweets on Twitter and nice emails, and it's nice to make people happy before the holidays. And looking forward to continue. And it gets got to put in more work. I mean, there's going to be more guys sitting out bowls this year than ever before. We're going to have some crazy coaching situations. You know, Scott Frost is already in Nebraska, and he's going to come back and coach his Central Florida team. And Todd Graham, he's been fired, but he's going to stay on and coach at Arizona State for the bowl. So
yeah, I mean, it's
you got to be on top of what's going on.
No, it is. It's absolutely crazy. By the way, I'm drinking my show coffee today out of my Paramount Sports tumbler. I just want you to know
you
that.
Do you do Twitter at all?
I do. I of course I tweet. I
gotta
tweet
gotta
all
post
the time.
Post a picture of it there in the studio.
I need to do that. I need to throw that out there
you,
as
you
well.
You like the Matt Black, huh?
I like that. That was, and it comes with a little coaster. I mean, you know, it was like
that's right. That's right.
I mean, so, my wife usually
that way
snags.
When you're drinking it, you know, yeah. And you spill, the wife won't yell at you.
She usually snags my Paramount Sports swag. You know what I mean? I mean, she always says she grabs the blanket, she grabs this, she grabs that. I'm like, no. I think that tumbler's staying with the big dog. I think is what I think that thing goes to the studio.
Hey, come on! What she's got to put up with you, and my wife has to put up with me.
Yeah.
Come on, they deserve a bunch of it.
That's a good point. Do you? We'll get to the games here in a second. But do you handicap the coaches? I mean, the fact that there are so many coaches on the move.
I mean, some coaches do real well. I'm hearing about some situations where teams are really taking it serious. They might have lost 4 or 5 in a row, and they want to get back on track and win a bowl game. It's important now because let's say you're in an early bowl, you're playing in a bowl this weekend.
Yeah.
You got early signing day coming the 20th.
Right.
Next Wednesday through Friday. So that could sway some guys. So, you know, the landscape has changed. I mean, when you and I are growing up, there was 8 bowl games, and, you know, you knew pretty much what to expect. You got to be on top of things. It can be, you know, if you don't know what you're doing, I've had some people that have gone bust during the bowls, but we've won 9 of the last 10 bowl seasons, and I think it's going to continue. And if they want to get involved, what a season we've had. Probably the least impressive is that we've won 11 out of 15 weeks. So,
yeah.
I mean, like last week we go 5-1. I mean, you're cashing in pretty good. So if you want to get involved, we have 3 weeks left of the NFL season, got 41 bowl games this year, NFL playoffs and Super Bowl, 2 months of action. If they use coupon code SAVE100, just $397 from now through the Super Bowl.
Wow. Man, that's a lot. That's
ParamountSports.com. Got everything posted. Yeah. Posting right now. Got 6 videos going up of different college bowl games. So if there's a game that we don't hit on, you want to see me break down, it's up and available on the internet, ParamountSports.com.
You know, Missouri comes into this bowl season flying high. I mean, I thought that for sure Coach
Didn't
Odom
they look
was
dead midseason.
They were dead. I thought the coach was dead. I was dead man coaching. I thought, okay, the Missouri job is open. And I mean, they were terrible. Now they're a 3-point favorite over Texas in Texas. I think it's the Alamo Bowl when they're going to be playing. And they, you know, and Texas is, you know, they got better after that tough loss they took to open the season against Maryland. What do you think about Missouri laying 3 against Texas?
I think they're trying to trap you. They're trying to get you to take Texas here. You want the better pedigree, but both these quarterbacks, Erlinger and Bouchel, I don't think they're the answer. I mean, they're okay. You know, they're not going to take you to the next level. Whereas Drew Locke has been incredible this year.
Yeah.
43 touchdowns, just 13 interceptions. You know, he moves around, he makes plays and buys time with his legs. They started 1-5 with 4 double-digit losses to SEC teams and then just got on that 6-game roll here. And their offense, number 6 in the land, averaging 104 yards than their opponent here. I'm hearing Texas might be a bunch of guys, bunch of seniors sitting out this game here. Just waiting, don't want to hurt their chances in the draft here. So I'm going to take Missouri here. I think they're favored by 3. I'm winning by 4 or 5 points, something like 32-27.
This is one that I'm really looking forward to. I got it in my top 10 bowl games when I listed them on the Tuesday top 10. The LSU-Notre Dame game has just got great optics. They played a wonderful game in the Music City Bowl a couple of years ago. And now LSU is a 3-point favorite over Notre Dame that was supposed to be a Final Four team and kind of crumbled down the stretch. What do you think?
Yeah, and Notre Dame's just not the same. I mean, they did beat Navy, but even Army beat Navy. Third time in the last 12 years that these teams have met up here in this bowl game. LSU won the 06 game, and that was in the Sugar Bowl when they met 41-14, and Notre Dame won the Music City Bowl 31-28 in 2014. LSU is playing their 18th straight bowl game, and they won and covered the last 2 here. Kelly, not a real good bowl coach, 2-7 against the spread his last 9 bowl games here. Since that loss to Troy, LSU's been a different team. I thought that, you know, you might see Ed Orgeron. He might be a one-and-done coach, but this defense even turned it around, held Bama's rushing attack to just 3.2 yards per carry and only 116 yards, and that's how Notre Dame likes to travel here. Low-scoring battle. I like LSU 20-14.
Yeah, you know, if LSU had just taken care of Troy, the narrative on them would be so different. It'd be a 10-win team, and I think they might have been ranked, you know, in the top 10.
But that's what's crazy about these two teams.
One
I mean,
game.
A lot of people after that Troy game got off LSU, and then they
forgot about
steamrolled pretty much through the rest of the season. And same with Missouri at one point. Everyone thought they were done.
Yeah. This game, the Peach Bowl, I think Auburn drew the short straw here on this deal because they played there in the SEC championship game. They opened the season in that building next year, so they're going there three straight games. Their fans, I mean, do they really want to go there? And you're playing UCF, which is everybody's little darling from the AAC, and, oh, they should have been in the Final Four and watched them beat up on, you know, on big bad Auburn out of the SEC. I mean, for Auburn, this is like you can't win. I've been saying it all week. It's like, you know, it's like, you know, beating baby seals or something. If you win, you're supposed to win. If you don't win, you're a laughingstock. And they're 9.5-point favorites. What they got going for them is that running back from UCF just came out and popped off saying that the SEC doesn't have that much speed. But 9.5 for Auburn against UCF. Do they do like Wisconsin did against Western Michigan, or do they do like Alabama did against Utah?
I think they're trying to trap you. I think they're trying to get you to bet Auburn here. Think, oh, okay, you know, they're a much better, more talented team. They'll win the game by double digits, 10, 14, at least 17 points. But here's the problem. Without their top two running backs, and Petway and also Johnson, who I don't, even if he tries to play, he's not 100%. If you watch the press conference and you watch the way their coaches were talking about it, doesn't sound like he's close, even close to 100%. And UCF, you know, they may not have as talented players as Auburn, but trust me, their top two running backs are better than Auburn's number three and number four. And I think the reason their defense really, you know, they don't have a whole lot of depth like some of these SEC teams, so they wore down as the season progressed. But with that time off, I think it'll help them. Frost is coming back to coach him here. You know, what are they playing for? I don't see anything here. I like Auburn to win the game 34-30, but a UCF to cover.
Let's get to the biggies. These are the national semifinal games. You know, Oklahoma opened, I think, as a short favorite, or maybe it was pick 'em. Now Georgia has gone up to a 1.5-2-point favorite against Oklahoma in the Rose Bowl. You know, Oklahoma's going to get their points, but can they stop anybody? What do you think about the Bulldogs as a 2-point favorite against Oklahoma? Maybe you like the totals better. I don't know.
I think they're a year early, Georgia. I think that, you know, I think next year was their year that they thought that they were going to do something. They had revenge versus Auburn, and Auburn had no running backs there. OU finished number one on offense, and I just think that this kid, Baker Mayfield, is possessed. And the way that they, you know, they got beat last year in these playoffs, I think it's going to fuel them. So I like Oklahoma here. I think they're going to win this game 35-24. I think Georgia is 1 year early to the party.
So who do they play in the national championship game then? Alabama and Clemson in the Sugar Bowl. Bama, quote-unquote, snuck in, but, you know, all the Vegas numbers are that they're the favorite to win it all. They play a Clemson team that's playing fantastic defense, got Kelly Bryant, an Alabama team that did not look great down the stretch for sure, but Nick Saban with a month to get ready for Dabo Swinney in the rubber match here, and we know how Nick Saban is on revenge games. What do you think?
I think this is a big game for Nick Saban here. I think he's going to throw some new wrinkles at this Clemson team. Clemson played perfect against Miami. I mean, everything went right. They played a little bit, team was a little overrated, but they had a great game plan. They executed it. Once they got up, you know, they just put their knee down on Miami, and it was expected here. You know, Bama now has the revenge like Clemson had the year before, and Alabama loses this game, and Nick Saban's image is really going to be tarnished here. They're going to be talking about Dabo Swinney as maybe the best college coach here and getting the best talent here. And I also think those linebackers, to the injuries to the linebackers late in the season, really hurt them down the stretch here. So I just think that you're going to see Alabama hit on some big plays here, and they'll come prepared. I like Bama here. Think they win this game 27-20 and move on to the finals.
All right. How did they get the game of the week? The Chargers in Kansas City. Salty game in the AFC West, and it's on Saturday, which gives us even more opportunities.
Whoever wins this game is probably going to win the division. So that big a game, and I'm going to give it away for free. Just call 800-400-9741. Again, the number. You want to get this L.A. Chargers and Kansas City game on me on Saturday, 800-400-9741. It's up and available for free. And a lot of free pick videos up on a bunch of other bowl games. So, you know, there's some real good bowl games coming around this year, like USC, Ohio State, Louisville, Mississippi State. That's under the radar. Penn State and Washington, they're all up and available. Paramount Sports. .com and like I said, you want to get that bowl package included. Will be the last 3 weeks of the NFL season, 41 bowl games, NFL playoffs, and Super Bowl. Use coupon code SAVE100, ParamountSports.com, and we'll keep this train rolling.
Are you going to the Orange Bowl?
No.
You're not going to go to the Orange Bowl? Your team?
No,
it's your town?
We're having a big party. I'm having a party at my house. So.
Okay. All right. Well, that's a good reason. All right. Check him out. ParamountSports.com. It's Lee Sterling. He's my guy. He should be your guy. And he is hot as a pistol right now. So you're going to want to jump on that as well. Okay. Lee, happy holidays. Have a wonderful, wonderful holiday season and new year. And we'll talk before the Super Bowl.
Sounds good. Take care.
All right. Thank you. Lee Sterling. That's solid. All right. Speaking of Vegas. I've got some bowl props in front of me for the bowl season, and I'm going to run them at Tony Mack when we return. That's right. I'm going to let Tony Mack make some picks on some fun bowl props when we return. It's the Tom Abraham Show on 730-1039. Yeah.
730 and 1039. The Ump. More sports.
This is Jim Rome with the CBS Sports Minute. I've got a lot of things on my mind today, but one of them is not Antoine Walker. I say this because I'm aware of the photo that surfaced last night. I know he was in Boston, sitting courtside at a game where he looked a little heavier than when he played. I also know that Sports Illustrated tweeted out the pic with the caption, Antoine Walker taking in Nuggets, Celtics. And that was all every ghoul with a Twitter account needed to see before it was on. Exhibit A, I am Massey tweeted, Antoine Walker taking in Nuggets, popcorn, lots and lots of calories, end quote. Yeah, that's fine, that'll happen. The camera adds 10 pounds. So I don't need you Brad Pitt-looking dudes coming in here and cracking on him for adding a little weight. Like you played at the Boston Garden, not the Olive Garden. Save it. Still not funny. I'm Jim Rome.
Hey, Big Poppy. DXL wants to know how you excel.
I excel under pressure.
DJ Khaled.
I excel for the encore.
And Sundance.
I excel at any key.
Oh, yeah.
DXL, the destination for men's XL style. Unrivaled fits from hundreds of brands, starting at size XL. Visit DestinationXL.com or a store near you.
Time to excel.
Napa know-how.
Keeping it simple is usually a good thing. And when it comes to rewards programs, keeping it simple is always a good thing. That's why we made the Napa Rewards program effortless. All you need is your phone number to start saving on the parts and tools you need. Then we automatically give you $5 off your next purchase for every $100 you spend. So start saving today with Napa Rewards. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
When you book your holiday travel with Priceline, you can save up to $300 on your flight. With savings like that, you'll have extra money to spend on better gifts for your nieces and nephews.
Look, Mom! Uncle Bill got us a drum set!
That's the sound of being a caring and generous gift giver. And when you've had enough of that gift, you can also save up to 60% on hotels. For the deals you won't find anywhere else, go to Priceline.
Express deals are different. Exact airline or hotel shown only after booking.
Catholic Charities is committed to providing life's basic needs. We teach social independence and encourage our clients to want more for their lives and the lives of their families. We seek to break down the walls of division that keep our sisters and brothers excluded or rendered disposable by our society.
We thank you for bringing us all here today, letting these people understand
how Catholic Charities runs and how important these people are to the people in the neighborhood. And we ask you to guide them, to protect them, and keep them here forever because this community needs them. And we ask you to bless every single person, whether they're here for help or they're an employee or a volunteer.
Visit www.catholiccharitiesusa.org to learn more.
I believe in you. Just four simple words. But to a child in need, they mean the world. When you become a child sponsor with Save the Children, you're saying, I believe in you. You're worthy of good nutrition, quality health care, and education. Visit sponsor.savethechildren.org today.
Support for this program is provided by the Native American Rights Fund, reminding you that sovereignty is not free. Native American Rights Fund has been helping Indian tribes for over 40 years with critical issues such as treaty enforcement, hunting and fishing rights, Indian child welfare, religious freedom, and more. You too can become a modern-day warrior with your support for NARF's work. Learn more at NARF.org and join the fight for Native rights.
Hey, it's our time. Call the big dog now at 866-485-9867. Here's Tom Abraham.
I really can't stay.
Baby, it's cold outside.
I gotta go away.
Baby, it's cold outside.
This evening has been
I'm hoping that you dropped
so
in.
Very nice.
I'm nailing it today.
Hold your hands. They're just like
now, that's the Dean Martin one, right? I mean, there's a country one. We spent a lot of time on the way back from Florida listening to, and on the way down there with my wife, listening to A Country Christmas on the satellite radio, and the Country Christmas channel, all your favorite country stars, you know, doing a lot of different Christmas, and Martina McBride does a great job with those, but Garth Brooks has some, and then that song is on there as well. Baby, it's cold outside. But that's the Dean Martin one. I forget who the chick was in it.
Actually, that was Michael Bublé.
Oh, that's Michael Bublé?
Yeah.
Who is the woman?
Idina Menzel. She's from, like, the place I know her from. She's popular everywhere else, but she was in that movie Frozen. I know that because my wife's seen it like 900 times.
There was like a Dean Martin one out there back in the day. That's the second time I've mentioned Dean Martin. I might be dropping little hints that maybe we
got
to get that.
I've got some Dean Martin lined up. That's why I didn't make the Dean Martin version of that one on here, because I have a Dean Martin one coming up here.
Yeah, I feel you. All right. Wait a minute. What happened to this?
I need my props.
I got my props here. Where do my props go? Oh, here they are. These are props for the upcoming bowl season, and I want to run by you and see what you say. Last year, the highest number of touchdown passes in any game was 5 by Sam Darnold and Dane Evans of Tulsa and Nick Stevens of Colorado State. So the over and under, highest total touchdown passes in a bowl game, 5.5. What do you think?
Over. You got USF playing Texas Tech this bowl season. That goes over.
Maybe they both go over.
Yeah.
No, this is highest total touchdown pass, I think, for one person.
Yeah,
for
one of those two teams will have like 6 touchdown passes, I'm sure.
Last year, the highest total was Sam Darnold's 453 yards. The over and under this year is 529 yards. Will anybody go over 529.5 yards?
For a team or a person?
A player.
Oh, no, under.
Yeah, I would say that, too, even though Darnold had 453 last year. I mean, that's 70 yards more.
That's a lot.
Than that. Yeah. Highest rushing yards in a game. Last year, the single high for it was Anthony Wales of Western Kentucky. He ran for 245 yards. The rushing total, 252 for one player. Not for Georgia. You know, I mean, their players together are going to run for 400 yards. But, I mean, one player, 252.
There's some good running backs again this bowl season. I know you got even Rashawn Penny of San Diego State out there playing a good game. But I'm going to go under. I don't think anybody reaches that.
Yeah,
that's a lot of yards, man.
Yeah. The highest point total last year, Idaho scored 61. Over and under is 62.5 this year. Anybody score 62.5?
I think that goes under, but it'll probably be close. I think we see a few like 58, 59-point games and maybe a 60.
I think it could go over this year.
Think so?
I mean, this defense has been so non-existent.
That's true.
I think one of these games could go just absolutely buggy crazy like that game a few years ago between whoever it was, Oregon and, Yeah, I mean, it was just a crazy game.
I remember Washington and Baylor had a game that was like 60-something to 50-something.
Yeah, that's the one I'm thinking of, Washington and Baylor. Largest margin of victory. Last year, Tulsa beat Central Michigan by 45 points. So the over and under is 42.5.
Oh, wow. I just made some other picks on against the spread thing that a friend of mine's dad is doing. I don't think so. I've got to believe in competitive football. No, it goes under.
Two games out of 40 last year went to overtime. The over and under for overtime games is 2.5.
Over. I think we can see some three overtime games.
I'll go over. There was one shutout in the bowl season last year. You remember what it was?
No.
One. Come on.
A shutout last year?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, obviously. Clemson, Ohio State. Okay.
No. Yeah, Clemson beat Ohio State 31-0.
I was thinking Alabama, Michigan State. I was like, that was a couple years ago. I don't think that ended up being a shutout, did it?
I think it was 38-3 or something that game. Yeah, Clemson 31-0 over Ohio State. Ohio State shutout last year in the playoff. Do you hear me, Ohio State? Shutout in the playoff last year. 31-0 was the score by the eventual national champions. That would be 31 for Clemson and 0 goose egg fanabla for Ohio State. Will there be a shutout this year? Yes is a plus 200, so it's 2-1 on the yes. In other words, if you put $1 down, you get $2 back if there's a shutout. Will there be a shutout this year?
No. You just mentioned defenses have been non-existent this year. I think we've seen a lot of guys being able to score. I don't think we see a shutout. And Ohio State, when he says you scored no points last year, that means you did not score a touchdown or a field goal. That means nothing.
The ACC last year was 8-3. In bowl games, not counting the championship game. So if Clemson gets to the championship game, that doesn't count. So in the games that are scheduled right now, the ACC over or under 5.5 wins.
For the ACC?
Yeah.
5.5 wins? I'm going to say 5. I'm going to say right at 5, so I'll go under.
Okay. They ought to tell me exactly how many teams are in this year.
Yeah.
Because I don't know that they have 11 bowl games.
Right.
I mean, they might. I don't know. Like, how many did the SEC have this year? Didn't the SEC only end up with 7 or 8?
I think they had 8, yeah.
Something like that. They had more than that last year, I know.
They had 12 last year, I think.
Right. The Little 12 was 4-2 last year. The over and under is 4.5 this year.
4.5 for the Big 12? I'll go under. I'll go 4 wins.
I think it's under. I definitely think it's under. I think Okie State's got a chance, but not a great chance.
Against VaTech? I like them against VaTech.
TCU has a chance.
That game's a little tricky for me. TCU and Stanford? Ugh. Texas gets beat, I think. I think Missouri beats Texas.
Big Ten was 3-7 last year. Oh, they 3-7 they were. You know, Ohio State got shut out.
And did that count as 2 losses?
No, that would just be one really bad loss. And then they won 3. Well, they won 3 out of their 10 games. Over and under is 4.5 this year for the 10.
4.5. They have 8 teams in. Goodness. I'll go over. I'll say they get 5.
And the SEC. Now, how many does the SEC have this year?
8. I'll double check, but I'm pretty sure
I think
counted
it's 8.
Yeah.
I think it's 8. They were 6-6 last year, not counting the championship game that they lost. 4.5 this year. In other words, will the SEC have a winning record in the bowl season this year?
I'm looking. 10 teams were eligible. Ole Miss can't go. 10 teams had bowl eligible records. Ole Miss can't go, so there's 9 teams in.
So there's 9?
Yeah. What was the over-under again?
The over-under is 4.5.
I'll go over. Definitely go over.
By the way, the reason I threw some of those out there is be prepared for that tomorrow for our Friday trifecta.
Ooh, I like that.
We'll have over or under conference totals. And our over or under, but the way we'll have it is, we'll match up conferences. We'll try and match up conferences. T-Mac, send me an email or a text. Or a chat or something, smoke signal, on how many bowl games each of the 5 Power 5 conferences have. So I can match up 2 conferences that
will
have
do.
The same number of games.
I'm on it.
Okay. That's going to be in our trifecta tomorrow. And tomorrow begins a whole new grand trifecta that'll go through the Super Bowl. And I'll explain all of that to you tomorrow. All right, we're halfway through this sucker. When we come back, Matt Scalise of AL.com is next, right here on 730-1039. Yeah.
They are WUMP 730 and 1039. The UMP.
I've had this law practice well over 30 years now.
Lackey Law Firm founder and my dad, Gary Lackey.
From the beginning, it's always been about helping people in need and giving solid advice to every client. Our first job is to make sure you know your rights.
I'm Justin Lackey. One of those principles Dad always taught us was that every client is as important as another. The initial consultation is free, and if we take on your injury case, you won't pay us anything unless we recover money for you.
Like father, like son, like daughter. I'm Jennifer Lackey. Hurt in a car wreck? You owe it to yourself to visit our website. You'll see an impressive list of success stories. No representation is made that the quality of legal services to be provided is greater than the quality of legal services to be performed by other attorneys.
No matter where your case is in North Alabama, we may be able to help. Visit us at thelackeylawfirm.com, L-A-C-K-E-Y.
Or reach us at 1-800-4-RIGHTS, 1-800-4-RIGHTS.
Everything's great. You're humming along to your favorite holiday music, happy as can be. Having a pleasant little drive because you think you're on your way to the best deals of the holiday season. But did you check eBay? If you did, you'd know we have price match guarantee on eBay deals all season long, which means the best deals on gifts from Adidas to Samsung to Dyson, and all with free shipping. So keep humming your favorite holiday tune, but make sure to check eBay deals for the best prices all season long. eBay. Fill your cart with color.
Tennessee Valley Fences Winter Sale is going on right now. Special pricing on all your fencing needs. All aluminum fences are 10% off, and you can get 18 months with zero interest with approved credit. If you've been putting it off, now is the time to get the fence of your dreams. At Tennessee Valley Fence. Tennessee Valley Fence. 256-883-0404. 883-0404. Online at TennesseeValleyFence.com. For all your fencing needs. Tennessee Valley Fence. You'll love us around your place.
Six, five,
a new
four,
sport is taking off
three,
in downtown Huntsville. Are you
five,
ready? Rock Axe City Throwing Club is the largest and only accredited club with the World Axe Throwing League in Alabama.
Come challenge axe experts for axe throwing champions from around the world.
Live in real time. Like Rock Axe City Throwing Club on Facebook for more information.
Or visit rockaxecity.com.
Rock Axe City Throwing Club. Coming soon to downtown Huntsville.
Hello, I'm Hector Elizondo, Emmy Award-winning actor, and I want to talk to you about getting older. My body hurts, my joints ache, and sometimes I forget.
I forget that doing all your own scenes for a movie isn't always the best decision. Especially when you're galloping side saddle down a countryside road on a horse named Archibello, who seems to have only one speed. High. And pulling on his reins only seems to encourage him to go even faster. So, of course, my body hurts and my joints ache, but it's not because of my age. It's because I'm living my life. Oh, Archibello!
Don't let life pass you by. Take care of your brain health. It may just help you stay on top of your game.
As soon as this scene wraps, I'm going to kiss the ground, thank Archibello for his outstanding performance, feed him a carrot, and visit brainhealth.gov.
Find out how you can make the most of your brain as you age at brainhealth.gov.
Every 2 minutes, a child enters foster care in the United States. More than 23,000 of these youth age out of foster care without anyone to protect them and care for them. You can be the difference for a child or teen in foster care. To learn about fostering or adoption, call SAFY today at 334-270-3181 or visit the website at safy.org. Consider becoming a foster parent, an agent of hope. Log on, safy.org.
Are you at risk for whooping cough? Pertussis, also known as whooping cough, is an extremely contagious respiratory illness that can cause a violent cough lasting up to 10 weeks. Pertussis is spread through the air when an infected person breathes, coughs, or sneezes. Over 48,000 cases of pertussis have been diagnosed in the United States, the highest number of cases since 1955. And even though you may have gotten the DPT shot when you were a child, Over time, your immunity to pertussis declines, leaving you and those around you at risk. Even if you've received a tetanus shot in the past, there's a high likelihood it did not contain pertussis protection. Receiving the tetanus, diphtheria, and pertussis vaccine will not only protect you, but also prevent you from spreading the disease to others, especially to young...
WUMP Madison, W28OVA Madison Huntsville, a Cumulus station, Sports Radio 730 and 103.9, The Ump. Are you ready, Alabama?
All the band is out on the field!
The band is leaving the...